نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، فهذا هو الدرس السابع من دروسنا في شرح كتاب منهج السالكين وتوضيح الفقه في الدين للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. قال: باب صلاة الجماعة والإمامة، وهي فرض عين للصلوات الخمس على الرجال حضرا وسفرا، كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لقد هممت أن آمر بالصلاة أن تقام، ثم آمر رجلا يؤم الناس أو يؤم الناس، ثم انطلق بحزم من حطب إلى أناس يتخلفون عنها فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم بالنار. متفق عليه. الأصل في حضور صلاة الجماعة أنها فرض عين، ليست فرض كفاية، وليست مجرد مستحب، بل هي فرض عين، ولا فرق فيها بين حضر وسفر، طالما أنه لا عذر يمنع من إتيانها، وذلك للرجال دون النساء. أما في الحضر فواضح أنه لا بد من حضورها، أما في السفر فإذا لم يمنع المسافر شأن خاص به وبسفره فإن الأصل أيضا حضوره، ولا دليل يستثنيه. وهذا الحديث يدل على هذا المعنى، فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هم بأن يحرق النار على بيوت المتخلفين عن الجماعة، وما ذلك إلا لكونها مفروضة، لا يقال إنها مستحبة أو فرض كفاية على بعض دون بعض.
الشيخ علي حسن علي عبد الحميد الحلبي حفظه الله began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending the salah and the salam to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He also stated that I bear witness that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and final messenger. He continued by saying, surely the best of words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surely the worst of all matters in religion are those that are newly innovated. For every newly innovated or invented matter in religion is a bid'ah, is a misguidance, is a dalala, and every bid'ah leads to being a misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the fire. Amma ba'd. He continued by saying, we are in our seventh class in our discussion of fiqh and its principles, and we have been going through the book and we have been going through the book by a Sheikh Al-Allama Abdul Rahman Ibn Nasir Al-Sa'di Rahimahullah, Manhaj Al-Salikin. The author states, the chapter of Jama'a prayer, congregational prayer, and Al-Imama, the regulations for the Imam. We are on page 34 for those of you who are following along. وَهِيَ Salatul Jama'ah is fardu ayn. It is compulsory upon every one. The Sheikh pauses and states, every male Muslim, that he should attend the five, as-salawatul khams, the five daily prayers. Whether he is in a state of travel, or whether he is in his own city. The Sheikh paused and explained that if a person is in his own city, it's understood that he should go to the masjid to pray. But if a person is in a state of traveling, and he finds himself in the vicinity of a masjid, that there should, and there is nothing to drive him to praying alone, then he should pray in the jama'ah with the congregation of the city that he happens to be visiting. كما قال النبي, as has been stated by النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in the hadith that is agreed upon. I wish, the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم says, I wish to order that salah be announced. And then I order a person to lead the salah, and I leave with coals or smoldering coals to go to the homes of those who did not come to the prayer and burn their homes in on them. So this shows you the emphasis that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making of the importance of Salatul Jama'ah.
قال المصنف وأقلها إمام ومأموم أي أقل عدد تقام فيه الجماعة اثنان الإمام والمأموم وكلما كان أكثر أي العدد في الجماعة فهو أحب إلى الله أقول كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صلاة الاثنين خير من صلاة الرجل الواحد وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة والفذ هو الفرد وهذا الحديث أصل في الرد على من قال بأن الجماعة شرط في صحة الصلاة وهذا مذهب ذهب إليه شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية تبعا للإمام ابن حزم قالوا بأن الجماعة شرط في صحة الصلاة وبالتالي فإذا لم يصلي المسلم في جماعة فصلاته باطلة وهذا قول ليس على الحق بل الصواب أن الجماعة فرض عين إن وجدت فيوجد بها الأجر ويرتفع بها الإثم وإن لم توجد فيوجد بها الإثم ولكن تصح الصلاة بدونها وهذا الحديث كما قلت حجة في الرد على هذا القول رحمك الله ذلكم أن هذا الحديث أثبت للفرد جماعة فلو كانت باطلة لما أثبت له الجماعة أو الصلاة ورد الطرف الآخر على هذا الاستدلال بقولهم بأن هذا يحمل على المعذور وهذا غلط أيضا لأن المعذور صلاته كاملة كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام من توضأ في بيته وخرج إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا الصلاة فوجد القوم قد صلوا كتب له مثل أجرهم من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيئا وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن العبد إذا مرض أو سافر كتب له مثل ما كان يعمل وهو صحيح مقيم إذن هذان حديثان أصل في الرد على هذا الاستدلال في هذه المسألة
The Sheikh continued حفظه الله by stating The author states The lowest number that is possible for there to be a jama'ah is an imam and one single person following him. The more there are in number, the more beloved it is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم, the salah of a jama'ah is more virtuous than the salah of a sole individual by 27 levels. It is 27 levels more virtuous or higher to pray in jama'ah than to pray a singular prayer just by yourself. The Shaykh continued by saying, and we see the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, to pray two people praying together is better than one person praying alone. The Shaykh gives us a side point, Shaykh Ali gives us a side point, hafizahullah, by stating, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah stated, and also Ibn Hazm, they stated that a person who does not pray in jama'ah, he has not prayed properly, or he has not prayed the shart, that they have made it a shart, a requirement. All of us know what a shart is. They state that the jama'ah, it is a shart for the acceptance of the salah. Here we see that there is proof that this statement is incorrect. It is not a shart. It is actually fardu ayn, compulsory, but it is not a prerequisite. And the Shaykh gives you the reasons why it cannot be shart, extracted from this hadith. Meaning that the Rasul ﷺ said it is 27 times better. He didn't say that if the person prays alone, that his prayer is not accepted. It's 27 times better. Also, we see that the Rasul ﷺ has said that the one who makes wudu in his home and goes to the masjid and he arrives and finds the people that they have finished the prayer, the compulsory prayer, he will be given the same reward that they were given for praying in jama'ah, while their reward will not be diminished because his intention was to come and join the prayer. Also, we see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the one who is in a state of travel or who became ill, until he recuperates or until he returns from his travel, Allah will have his same good deeds that he used to perform regularly when he was healthy or in his city recorded for him until he returns or recuperates from his illness. Here, these two ahadith are even more proof for those who say it is a shart. And they say that maybe the only reason that the salah would be accepted is because of a necessity. Here the Shaykh points out that even in the necessity, there is an acceptance from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore we see that salatul jama'ah, it is fardu ayn, it is not a prerequisite for the acceptance of the salah, although it is something that should be and it is compulsory to be done for the person who has the ability to perform it.
قال وقال أي النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا صليتما في رحالكما ثم أتيتما مسجد جماعة فصليا معهم فإنها لكم نافلة. هذا الحديث قاله عليه الصلاة والسلام لما رأى رجلين دخلا المسجد والجماعة قائمة ولم يصليا, فسألهما فقالا صلينا في رحالنا أي في دورنا وبيوتنا. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا صليتما في رحالكما ثم أتيتما مسجد جماعة فصليا معهم فإنها لكم نافلة, أي تكون هذه نافلة طالما أنكم صليتم الصلاة الأصل. رواه أهل السنن, وأهل السنن إذا أطلقت إنما يراد بها الترمذي والنسائي وأبو داود وابن ماجه. وعن أبي هريرة مرفوعا أي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما جعل الإمام ليؤتم به, الإمام هو الأصل وإنما هو موضوع ليأتم به الناس ويتبعوه، فإذا كبر فكبروا ولا تكبروا حتى يكبر، وإذا ركع فاركعوا ولا تركعوا حتى يركع، وإذا قال سمع الله لمن حمده فقولوا ربنا ولك الحمد، وإذا سجد فاسجدوا ولا تسجدوا حتى يسجد، وإذا صلى قائما فصلوا قياما، وإذا صلى قاعدا فصلوا قعودا أجمعون. رواه أبو داود وأصله في الصحيحين. وهذا الحديث أيها الإخوة في الله أصل في باب الائتمام، وهو أنه لا يجوز مسابقة الإمام في شيء، بل الأصل أن يكون الإمام هو الأساس ثم أن يتبعه من خلفه من عامة الناس، أما مسابقته والافتئات عليه فهذا لا يجوز، بل قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: أما يخشى الذي يرفع رأسه قبل الإمام أن يقرب الله رأسه رأس حمار؟ نسأل الله العافية. قال: وقال يا أم القوم أقرأهم لكتاب الله، فإن كانوا في القراءة سواء فأعلمهم بالسنة، فإن كانوا في السنة سواء فأقدمهم هجرة، فإن كانوا في الهجرة سواء فأقدمهم سنا، ولا يؤمن الرجل الرجل في سلطانه ولا يقعد في بيته على تكرمته إلا بإذنه. رواه مسلم. وهذا الحديث أصل في شيئين اثنين، أما الأول فهو صفة الإمام وأنه الأفضل، الأفضل في القراءة لكتاب الله، فإن كان ثمة مساواة فيقدم الأعلم بالسنة، وإلا فالأقدم هجرة وتدينا والتزاما وإسلاما، فإن كانوا في ذلك سواء فأقدمهم سنا، أي أكبرهم سنا، الكبير السن دائما يكون كبير قدر وعقل. وأما الأصل الثاني فهو أن لصاحب السلطان في سلطانه، أي لصاحب الحاجة في حاجته وملكه، الأفضلية. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: ولا يؤمن الرجل الرجل في سلطانه، في سلطانه إمام المسجد هو صاحب السلطان فيه، فلا يجوز أن يقدم عليه أحد إلا بإذنه، فإذا أذن هو جاز ذلك. إنسان في بيته قاموا ليصلوا لظرف معين، لا يجوز أن يصلي بالناس أحد سواه إلا بإذنه أن يأذن هو، وهكذا. ولا يقعد في بيته على تكريمته إلا بإذنه، على تكريمته أي على موضع إكرامه، بأن يقول له اجلس هنا فيجلس، اجلس هنا فيجلس، أما أن يجلس كيفما شاء في أي مكان شاء فهذا لا يجوز إلا بإذن صاحب البيت والمنزل والسلطان، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh continued by stating: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: If a person prays in his home and comes to the masjid and sees that they are being led in salah of jama'ah, he is to pray with the jama'ah and it will be considered nafl for him. And this hadith is narrated by the people of Sunan, meaning that the hadith is narrated by Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i, and Abu Dawood. The Sheikh paused and gave us an important point by stating how this hadith came about, that two of the Sahaba, they came to the masjid and the Rasulullah ﷺ saw them not praying with the jama'ah. He told them why. They said, we have already prayed in our home. He told them, stand up and pray with the jama'ah, for it will be counted as a nafl or a nafila for you to be to pray it. Also in the hadith of Abu also in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu arda, which is a hadith that is marfu', meaning raised to the level of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has stated, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامِ, surely the imam, the purpose or the position of the imam has been created or has been made so that he is to be followed. The imam, has been made so that he is to be followed. So when he says Allahu Akbar, you say after him Allahu Akbar. And do not make the takbir before he makes it. And when he goes into ruku', then you go into ruku'. And do not go into ruku' until he goes into ruku'. And when he says Sami' Allahu liman hamida, you are to say after him Rabbana wa lakal hamd. And when he makes his sujood, then you make your sujood, and do not make your sujood before him. And when he prays standing, then you are to pray standing. And if he prays sitting, then you are to pray sitting. And this hadith is narrated by Abu Dawood, and it is narrated, its chain or its text, it has a basis in the two authentic books of Bukhari and Muslim. It is founded, there are the same narration, its text, its basis can also be found in the Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari wa Muslim. Here the Shaykh paused and stated that it is important to follow the Imam, and for this reason the Imam was instituted, so that the people will follow him. This is the principle, al-asl, that the Imam, he leads and the people follow his lead. So you do not make, you are not forward of the Imam in any shape, way or form. And the Shaykh gives us another hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, is not the person who raises his head before the Imam raises his head afraid that Allah shall cause his head to turn into the head of a donkey? Showing you how severe of an act it is that it deserves the chastisement, and a person who does it is liable to be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also we see in another hadith that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the person who leads the people should be the one who is most versed in the Qur'an. The one who is going to lead the prayer, he should be the one who is most versed in the Qur'an, who knows the book of Allah better than the others. If all of them are equal in their level of knowing the book of Allah, then they should look to see who of them knows more of the sunnah. Who of them knows more of the sunnah? And if they are all equal in their knowledge of the sunnah, they should see who of them has made the hijrah first. And if they are all equal in the hijrah, they should put forward the one who is most advanced in age. The older should lead the prayer. And in the hadith it continues, and a person is not to be led in his dominion or in something that is under his control. Here the Shaykh paused and explained, in your own home, no one can lead you in your prayer except by your permission. No one is to volunteer and step forward and lead you in your own home. Or if you are the Imam of the Masjid, no one can come and stand and lead the prayer without your permission. It is something that is under your control. It is your place. So there no one can come forward and step over your bounds. The hadith continues, and that none can sit in a place of honor and are in a place in your home unless you have given him permission. So if you have a guest, he cannot just come and enter and sit wherever he pleases. You are to wait and be shown where you are asked to sit. You do not enter and sit wherever you please. It is to be indicated to you, please have a seat here or there or so forth. And that hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. So this shows you the importance of the Imam, how the Imam is to be chosen for the establishment of the Salah, and the importance and elevation that is given to him, that he is to be followed and not to be encroached upon, or someone be forward of the actions of the Imam.
قال وينبغي أن يتقدم الإمام. الأصل في الإمام أن يكون متقدما للصف لا أن يكون معهم، إلا إذا كانت جماعة نساء، فقد ورد عن أم المؤمنين عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها كانت تأم جماعة النساء في صف وتقف وسطهن، أي لا تتقدمهن وإنما تتوسطهن في وسط الصف، أو في منتصف الصف، وأن يتراص المؤمنون، والتراص يكون بالأقدام والأكتاف. أما ما يفعله بعض الناس اليوم من التراص بالأقدام دون الأكتاف فلا، لأنه حينئذ إن لم تكن الفجوة في الأقدم، الأقدام تكون في الأكتاف، وهذا لا يجوز. ويكمل الصف الأول فالأول. يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام: ألا تصفون كما تصف الملائكة عند ربها؟ قالوا: وكيف تصف الملائكة عند ربها يا رسول الله؟ قال: يتمون الصف الأول ثم الأول. أما أن يبتدئ بعض المسلمين الصف الثاني أو الثالث قبل انتهاء الأول أو الثاني فلا. نعم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, and it is important to note that the Imam is to stand in front of the first line of people who are being led in prayer. He is not to stand in between the first line, except if the person that is going to lead the prayer is a woman, meaning leading the prayer of other women, meaning women praying separately. For all of us know that the Imam is the one who leads the prayer if he is in the presence of women. And this is derived from the narration that Aisha radiallahu anha, when she led women in salah, she used to stand amongst them in the first line, in the middle of the first line. As for the male who is leading the prayer as an imam, he is to stand in front of the first line by himself. And also the Sheikh says that those who are lining up behind him, that they should be straight, that they should straighten themselves. And the Sheikh says the straightening should not just be by the feet, foot beside foot. It is foot beside foot and shoulder beside shoulder. Also the Sheikh continues by saying, and that they are to fill the first line before they begin another line. And here the Sheikh gives us the hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, do you not line up in the same manner that the angels line up with Allah? They said, how do the angels line up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He told them sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they fill the first line, then they build another line, then they fill that line and so forth. Meaning that you leave no space in the first line or the line that is in front of you unless it is filled before another line is begun.
قال ومن صلى ركعة وهو فذ أي منفرد خلف الصف لغير عذر أعاد صلاته. وهذا من مبطلات الصلاة، فقد رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رجلا يصلي خلف الصف فقال: أعد صلاتك. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا صلاة لمنفرد خلف الصف. إذن هذا من مبطلات الصلاة، إلا أن يكون ذلك بعذر كما قال المؤلف لغير عذر، وهذا العذر أن يأتي المسلم ليصلي فيجد الصفوف امتلأت ولا يستطيع في الوقت نفسه أن يصلي قرب الإمام لسبب أو آخر، وإلا فالأصل أن يحاول أن يصلي قرب الإمام بجانبه. فإن لم يتيسر له هذا وذاك فحينئذ يصلي خلف الصف ليكون نواة صف جديد، ولا يجوز له أن يجذب أحدا من الصف، فإن هذا فيه قطع للصلاة والرسول للصف عفوا. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: من وصل صفا وصله الله، ومن قطع صفا قطعه الله. وقال ابن عباس: صليت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات ليلة فقمت عن يساره فأخذ برأسي من ورائي فجعلني عن يمينه. متفق عليه. وفي هذا إشارة إلى أن المسلم إذا صلى مع إمام منفردين فقط فإنما يكون عن يمينه. وها هنا تنبيه مهم، وهو إضافة إلى كونه عن يمينه يجب أن يكون على حذائه مستويين. لا يفعل كما يفعل كثير من الناس اليوم أن يتقدم الإمام خطوة أو أكثر، هذا مخالف للسنة، وإنما الصواب أن يكون على مستواه تماما. قال: وقال إذا سمعتم الإقامة فامشوا عليكم السكينة والوقار ولا تسرعوا فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فأتموا. متفق عليه. هذا إشارة إلى أن الأصل في المقبل على الصلاة أن يقبل عليها بالسكينة والهدوء والوقار والاطمئنان دون التعجل ودون الإسراع، فإذا أدرك من الصلاة جزءا صلى وما فاته يتمه. أما هذا الاستعجال فلا يجوز بأي حال. وفي الترمذي: إذا أتى أحدكم الصلاة والإمام على حال فليصنع كما يصنع الإمام، جئت والإمام راكع تركع، جئت والإمام ساجد تسجد، جئت والإمام جالس تجلس. بعض الناس يأتون والإمام جالس فينتظرون حتى تنتهي الصلاة ليصلوا منفردين أو مجتمعين، وهذا خطأ. الصواب أن يصلى وراء الإمام وأن يصنع كما يصنع الإمام نفسه، هكذا تستقيم الأمور وهكذا يكون الاتباع الصحيح. أما أن تخالف إمامك أو أن تنتظره حتى يفرغ فليس هذا من السنة في شيء، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, the one who prays purposefully behind the lines alone when there is room for him to be praying in the line, the one who is ma'moom, he comes to the salah and he stands individually by himself, his salah is not accepted if he did not have a reason. Here the Sheikh paused by saying that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a man praying alone and he told the man to redo his prayer because the man had separated from the lines. Also we see that the key word here is udhr, which is for a reason or without a reason. So therefore if there is a reason, meaning you came and there is no room, all the lines are full, there is no room, then you are to begin the prayer and you can stand alone. If you could not come and stand near the Imam, for whatever reason it may have been, then you may stand alone and lead and be led in the Salah, standing alone as if you are your own line. But the Sheikh continues and says, and make sure that you do not pull a person back to stand beside you, because that makes you causes you to fall into a greater sin, which is cutting the line. And we hear that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the one who completes a line, Allah shall bring him closer to him. And the one who cuts a line, Allah shall cut him off from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore you do not cut a line purposefully. You would stand alone or if possible stand near the Imam and you would not cut the line. The Sheikh continues by saying, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda says, the Sheikh continued by saying, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda said, I prayed beside the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night and I stood on his left side. He and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were praying alone. Ibn Abbas came and stood on the left side of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abbas states, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled me by the back of my head and caused me to stand on his right side. And here the Sheikh pauses and states an important point, meaning he pulled me on his right side that I was equal to him standing right beside him. And therefore the action that we see some people doing, that the imam is a step forward of the other person who is being led, this is incorrect. The person, if the only two people are praying, they are to stand beside one another as if they are in one line. And this is how it should be done. And that hadith is agreed upon. We also see that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you hear the iqama being called, the final call to the prayer, walk to the prayer. Do not run to it. Walk to the prayer in a state of tranquility and peacefulness. وَلَا تُسْرِعُوا, and do not hurry running to it. Whatever you catch of the prayer, you will catch. And whatever you have missed, stand up and complete. And that hadith is agreed upon. We also see in the book of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if any of you comes to the salah and the imam is in a specific position, whichever it may be, the person who comes late is to quickly join the salah and join the salah and do the exact same thing that the imam is in. So if you come and the imam is in sujood, you say Allahu Akbar and you enter and you fall down into sujood. You would not wait, as the Sheikh says, as we see some people, they will wait until the imam rises or so forth, or until the tashahud finishes. This is incorrect. You are to come and to join the salah as quickly as possible, as is stated in this hadith of Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, and so forth.
قال باب صلاة أهل الأعذار أي من فيهم بلاء من مرض أو من لهم عذر من جمع أو حاجة من حاجة أو خوف أو غير ذلك. قال والمريض يعفى عنه حضور الجماعة. وبطبيعة الحال فإن المرض المقصود هو المرض الذي يمنع صاحبه من ذلك، وليس كل مرض، فقد يكون إنسان ما مريضا ولكنه يستطيع حضور الجماعة. قال وإذا كان القيام يزيد في مرضه صلى جالسا، فإن لم يطق أي لم يستطع فعلى جنبه، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمران بن حسين صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فجالسا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنبك، صل قائما فإن لم تستطع فقاعدا فإن لم تستطع فعلى جنبك، رواه البخاري. وهذا الحديث إنما قاله نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمران لما جاء يشتكيه وقد أصابته بواسير، قال يا رسول الله إن بي بواسير ولا أستطيع أن أصلي، فقال صل قائما إلى آخر الحديث. وهذا كله من رحمة ربنا بنا، وهو القائل ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير، وهو القائل ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج، فإننا لا نحمد الله عز وجل على ذلك أجل الحمد وأعظم.
The Sheikh continues by saying the chapter, we begin now the chapter of the people with excuse. The people who have valid excuse. First, a person who is ill, an illness that causes him not to have the ability to attend the jama'ah prayer, does not have to attend the jama'ah. And here the key word, does not have the ability to attend the jama'ah prayer because of the illness. Not just any illness. An illness that prevents you from joining the jama'ah, therefore you have an excuse. And if the person, if he stands in prayer, it will cause him hardship, then he is permitted to pray while sitting down. And if praying while sitting down will cause him also hardship, then he is to pray on his side, to be lying on his side. As the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Imran ibn Husayn, he says to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said to him, pray while standing, And if you cannot, then pray while sitting. And if you cannot, then pray on your side. And the hadith is narrated by Imam al-Bukhari. And Imran, he was complaining of an illness that caused him not to have the ability to pray due to his illness. So therefore the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the excuse of praying sitting or on his side. And therefore the Shaykh pauses and says, surely it is from the mercy of Allah Jalla wa Ala that we can establish our prayer in many, many ways if we have excuses. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq. Does the Creator not know His created beings? And He is Al-Latif Al-Khabir. He is the most kind, the most knowing, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He allows us to have these excuses. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has not made upon us in religion any hardship. So everything has been made easy and facilitated that we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even in our illnesses and so forth.
قال وإن شق عليه فعل كل صلاة في وقتها وإن شق عليه فعل كل صلاة في وقتها فله الجمع بين الظهر والعصر وبين العشاءين أي المغرب والعشاء في وقت إحداهما وكذلك المسافر يجوز له الجمع ويسن له القصر للصلاة الرباعية إلى ركعتين وله الفطر في رمضان
ذا شك
أما بالنسبة للمريض فقد يكون صعبا عليه وعسيرا أن يصلي كل صلاة في وقتها فلدفع الحرج والطارئ عليه في ذلك يجوز له أن يجمع بين الصلاتين إما الظهر والعصر أو المغرب والعشاء يجوز له الجمع بين هاتين الصلاتين المغرب والعشاء من جهة والظهر والعصر من جهة أخرى في وقت إحداهما قد يصلي الظهر والعصر في وقت الظهر تقديما وقد يصلي الظهر والعصر في وقت العصر تأخيرا قد يصلي المغرب والعشاء في وقت المغرب تقديما وقد يصلي المغرب والعشاء في وقت العشاء تأخيرا وكذلك المسافر تماما إذا كان عنده حرج أو حاجة والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا جاء أحدكم الأمر يخشى فوته فليجمع بين الصلاتين وهذا أصل في العذر وفي الحرج وفي دفعه وتيسيره قال ويسن له القصر للصلاة الرباعية إلى ركعتين أي المسافر وهذا مخالف للسنة بل الصواب أن القصر فرض لا يجوز للمسافر أن يتم صلاته إلا إذا أتم بالإمام المقيم أما مسافر وإتمام فلا يجتمعان وفي حديث عائشة أنها قالت فرضت الصلاة ركعتين ركعتين فزيدت في الحضر وأقرت في السفر أي مفروضة قال وله الفطر في رمضان نقول نعم له الفطر في رمضان إن كان الفطر أيسر له وأوفق لحاله فهذا أفضل وإن كان الصيام أفضل له وأوفق لحاله فالصيام أفضل والصحابة رضي الله عنهم كانوا يقولون كنا نسافر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فمن الصائم ومن المفطر فلم يكن ينكر صائمنا على مفطرنا ولا مفطرنا على صائمنا وأما حديث ليس من البر الصيام في السفر فإنه محمول على ماذا محمول على أن هذا الصائم في السفر أجهد بسبب صومه ومرض وهذا هو سبب ورود الحديث فقد رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جماعة مجتمعين على رجل يظللون عليه أي يقونه من الشمس والحر فسألهم فقالوا رجل صائم في السفر فقال حينئذ رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام ليس من البر الصيام في السفر
And if a person has difficulty in prayer, that can cause him, that it makes it difficult for him to pray each prayer at its specified time due to illness or travel or so forth, he is permitted to join the prayers so that he pray Dhuhr and Asr at one time, and Asr and Maghrib at another time, and Fajr in its proper time by itself. And here the Shaykh says, explaining that the prayer can be done, the Dhuhr and the Asr can be prayed at the time of Dhuhr, or the person can wait and pray Dhuhr and Asr at the time of Asr. And the person can pray the Maghrib and Isha at the time of Maghrib, or the person can delay it and pray the Maghrib and Isha at the time of Salatul Isha. And such also is the ruling for a person who is traveling. A person who is traveling is permitted to join his prayers, and it is sunnah, the author in the book states that it is sunnah for him to shorten the prayer, to pray 2 rak'at for Dhuhr, 2 rak'at for Asr, 2 rak'at for Isha. It is stated that it is sunnah to be prayed. Here the Shaykh stops and says, as for shortening the prayer for the person who is traveling, in fact, it is not sunnah, it is fard. It is something that is required that he shorten the prayer when he is in a state of travel, unless he is being led by an imam of the person, a person who is from the city, who prays his prayer the regular length. Therefore, he would complete the prayer with him in its regular length. But it is required for the imam to pray the prayer, it is fard for him to pray the prayer shortened. And this is derived from the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, where she says, Salah, when it was instituted, it was made, it was fard, two rak'at for each prayer. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the prayer for those who are living in the cities, that they pray 4 rak'at. But for those who travel, it remains 2 rak'at, meaning that it is compulsory to revert to praying 2 rak'at for Dhuhr, 2 rak'at for Asr, 2 rak'at for Isha. Maghrib and Fajr obviously remain same in their length. The Shaykh continues by reading to us, and for the person who is traveling, it is permitted for him to break his fast if he chooses to do so. Here the Shaykh gives us more important information, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would travel and he would be accompanied by some of his Sahaba. Some would be fasting and others would not be fasting. Therefore the Shaykh says that it is the choice of the individual in accordance to the type of journey and his strength. As for the hadith where the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, it is not from righteousness to fast while traveling, it was due to a specific incident where one Sahabi, he was fasting in under very hot conditions and in a long journey, and he became so fatigued that the people had to shade him. He would be sitting and he couldn't shade himself or so forth. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the man in that position and he asked, why is he like this? They said, he is fasting while traveling. So the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not righteousness to be fasting in travel. Meaning, at that specific situation, for that specific individual, or for anyone who will meet that situation or that specific characteristic where he will become fatigued. So therefore it becomes the individual choice of the person. If he feels strength in fasting when he is traveling, he may do so. But if it is for the prayers, he is in a state of travel, he is to shorten them and he is to join them when required. Now.
قال وتجوز صلاة الخوف على كل صفة صلاها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلاة الخوف هي الصلاة التي يصليها المسلمون في الحرب، حيث يكون في الحرب مواجهة وترقب وتخوف وتربص، فحينئذ لابد أن يكون المسلمون على قدر هذه المواجهة، فشرع الله عز وجل لهم صلاة الخوف. قال فمنها حديث صالح بن خوات عمن، أي عن بعض الصحابة، عمن صلى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، يوم ذات الرقاع، غزوة تسمى ذات الرقاع، صلاة الخوف، أن طائفة صلت معه وطائفة وجاه العدو، فصلى بالذين معه ركعة ثم ثبت قائما وأتموا لأنفسهم، ثم انصرفوا وصفوا وجاه العدو، وجاءت الطائفة الأخرى فصلى بهم الركعة التي بقيت، ثم ثبت جالسا وأتموا لأنفسهم ثم سلم بهم. متفق عليه. يصلي الإمام ركعتين، الركعة الأولى يصلي معه نصف المجاهدين وهو يظل قائما، وهم يصلون ركعة معه، والركعة الثانية يتمونها وحدهم وهو لا يزال قائما، ثم يسلمون وينصرفون وهو لا يزال قائما، ثم تأتي الطائفة الأخرى فتأتم به وتصلي معه ركعة، فإذا جلس قاموا هم فأتموا الركعة الثانية وحدهم، فإذا جلسوا سلم معهم وإياهم. إذن صلاة الخوف ركعتان للإمام والمأموم، لكن الإمام يصلي مع كل طائفة ركعة ويستمر في صلاته وهم ينصرفون ويصلون الركعة الثانية وحدهم، فتأتي الطائفة الأخرى،
واضح،
وتأتي الطائفة الأخرى لتصلي الركعة الثانية، فإذا جلس الإمام قاموا هم فأتموا لأنفسهم وجلسوا، فحينئذ يسلموا معهم. وفي الحالة التي يكون فيها الطائفة تصلي مع الإمام تكون الطائفة الأخرى وجاه العدو، تحرس المسلمين وتقي الثغور. نعم.
The Sheikh continued by saying, and it is permitted to pray the prayer of khawf, meaning at the time of war there is a specific prayer in how to deal with the salah when you are under siege or when you are in the battle. It is permitted to pray the salatul khawf according to any of the narrations that have been reported from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And of the famous narration is that of that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of battle, that he began his prayer with half of the contingent of the Muslim army. He led half of the Muslim army in prayer while the other half were stationed facing the enemy. So the Muslim contingent or the Muslim platoon were divided in two: those who remained facing the enemy and those who went and prayed with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How did he lead them in prayer? It is a specific type of prayer due to the uniqueness of the situation. You're in the battlefield, so the prayer, it is done in a specific way. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and therefore the Imam, would pray. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam began the prayer with this first half of the Muslims, and he led them in one rak'ah. He read the Fatiha, read another surah, they went into ruku', and then he stood up, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after the sujood, he stood up and remained standing, while the other Muslims, the Muslims who were praying behind him, this first half of the Muslim army, continued the prayer by themselves. They led themselves in the second rak'ah, and then they made their salam and left, and joined the battle while the second contingent who had not prayed with the Rasul came and stood behind him and said Allahu Akbar, and they joined him in the second rak'ah he was praying. So therefore they prayed one rak'ah with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and one rak'ah alone. The second half of the army came and joined the Rasul in his second rak'ah, which is their first rak'ah. And then they stood up while he remained sitting. After the second rak'ah, he remained sitting, did not say salamu alaykum. He remained sitting until they prayed their second rak'ah. And then when they came in their julus, he said salamu alaykum and they said assalamu alaykum with him. Therefore the prayer for everyone was two rak'ahat, each of them prayed at least one with the imam, one rak'ah with the imam. Do you understand? طيب. And the hadith is muttafaqun alayh.
قال وإذا اشتد الخوف أي صار الخوف شديدا وتواجه المسلمون والكفار مواجهة طويلة لا يستطيعون معها أن يصلوا تلكم الصلاة فهل تسقط عنهم الصلاة؟ قال صلوا رجالا وركبانا إلى القبلة وإلى غيرها يومئون بالركوع والسجود أي كل على ما يستطيع ما جعل عليكم في الدين من حرج. وهذه تسمى عند أهل العلم صلاة المسايفة أي المواجهة بالسيوف حيث لا يستطيع المسلمون كما قلت أداء صلاة الخوف على تلكم الصورة فيصلون بالتكبير والتهليل ويصلون بالإيماء بالرؤوس والإشارة بها وكذلك كل خائف على نفسه يصلي على حسب حاله أي ما يتيسر له ويفعل كل ما يحتاج إلى فعله في هرب أو غيره فوضع الخوف لا يمنع أداء الصلاة. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمرتكم بأمر فأتوا منه ما استطعتم متفق عليه. أقول فانظروا بالله عليكم هذا الدين ما أعظمه وما أجله وكيف أنه استوعب كافة التفاصيل التي يحيا بها المسلم إنسانا ذا طبيعة بشرية من خوف وحاجة وشهوة يؤدي له حقه ولا يمنعه حظه بالتي هي أقوم للتي هي أحسن من الخلاء إلى الحرب إلى الخوف إلى الموت إلى الغنى إلى الفقر إلى كل شيء في صغير وكبير في قليل وكثير. ونقول كما قيل تالله لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا.
The Shaykh continued حفظه الله by saying and if the battle is waging and it's more fierce causing them not to have the ability to join in the prayer that was described to you previously every person is to pray by himself in the manner that he can. So if he cannot make sujood, he would make sujood just with his head. If it is such, and this is why the ulama have called this type of prayer, the prayer of the clashing of the swords. Because you are in such a situation where it's such a struggle that you're in your trench or you cannot come together, that you pray in the manner that can that you can most be in completion of the actual salah. So if it means that you are praying and it is through the tahleel, or it is through making the sujood or the ruku' with the nodding of your head or so forth, you pray your prayer as best as you can to complete it so that you will not incur the punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows you the importance of salah. Even in this position where you can't pray, you don't have the ability to make the salah or to join in prayer, you are to pray in the best manner that you can possibly do. وَكُلٌ عَلَى حَسَبِ حَالِهِ Everyone is to pray in the way that befits him. Some people are closer to the enemy, they have to pray with their head. Some people are a little further away, they have room to make ruku' but not sujood, so forth. Everyone prays in accordance to the thing or to the ability that he has been given. And this is why we see Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, when I order you to do something, do as much of it as possible. As much of it as possible. The salah, as much as you have the ability to perform. Here the Shaykh paused, and that hadith is muttafaqun alayh. Here the Shaykh paused and said, how beautiful is our religion. Covers all aspects. From how to go to the bathroom, to how to purify yourself, to the types of water that are pure, to how to purify yourself when you don't have water, to what the rulings are when you are in war or when you are in safety, to what happens if you are in poverty or in wealth. Everything has been covered in the religion of Islam, showing the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stressed upon living the true life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended for mankind, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in complete submission to him. And therefore the Sheikh gave us, in his final word, he gave us a verse of poetry that says, if it were not for Allah, we would not have been guided, and we would not have known the importance of praying, and we would not have known the importance of praying or the importance of fasting.
And this is where we
conclude. We will give some time for the questions, inshaAllah. Fadla. Good question.
And the third is, when Imam praying, right? It's up to the four of now, three, whatever car, right? And then you miss the first nikah, or you miss the two nikah. Now, when you're standing up, when Imam goes to
sleep,
right? You're standing up, which
in
the car are you praying? The one you missed? Good question.
So the first question.
Okay, the first Musaf. How long?
يقول هل في حد معين للسفر؟
طالما أن المسافر مسافر فعليه أحكام السفر إلا إذا نوى الإقامة وأخذ أسبابها من سكن ووضع يرتاح فيه وما شابه ذلك. أما طالما أنه لا يزال في ظل السفر وحرج السفر فلا.
The Sheikh answers by saying, the question is, how long is the period of travel? Is it by a number of days? The Sheikh answers by saying, a period of travel is as long as the person considers himself traveling. It's as long as you're in a state of travel. You don't have your own place. You're living out of your suitcase. As you see, I explained, we've been here with you maybe close to 2 weeks. But we're living from our suitcase. We're going from here to there. We have some meals here, some meals there. We are not established. It is not our city. And we have not intended to remain here for a long, long period of time. So therefore, we will be remaining in a state of travel until we return to our homes, once again pack up our suitcases and so forth. السؤال الثاني بالنسبة رجلين يصليان الثالث يأتي هل يجر علما أنك قلت قطع صف
هنا ليس هنالك صف أصلا. عندما يكون اثنان يصليان لا يوجد صف, وبالتالي فإذا سحب القادم الجديد من بجنب الإمام إنما سحبه ليصنع صفا, فهذه الصورة تختلف عن تلك تماما.
The question that was being asked, if there are two people praying, and we know that this is jama'ah, two people praying, and a third comes, what is he to do? We have heard that you are not permitted to cut a line by pulling a person from it. The Sheikh says, in this situation, there is no line to begin with. You are actually pulling the person back to make the first line. So therefore the line had not been established. So what you are doing is making the first line. The third and final question is, Go ahead.
Good question.
No.
Continue.
Go. لو أتيت الصلاة التحقت بالركعة الثانية أو الثالثة حين تكمل الصلاة وحدك, هل أنت تكمل الركعة الأولى أو الثانية؟ يعني هل تقرأ بالفاتحة وسورة معها؟
تقرأ عن الذي الأخير ليس الأول, تقرأ الأخير وليس الأول.
نعم.
فاتحة
فيقرأ
مفهوم
بآخره.
فهمت. يقرأ بالآخر وما أدركه والأول يدركه.
The question that is being asked, if you come to the prayer and you miss two or three raka'at, meaning that you've missed a raka'ah from the first part of the prayer where you're required to read Fatiha and another surah, and you also missed another raka'ah from the second part of the prayer where you only read Fatiha, when you stand up for prayer, which is the rak'ah that you begin with first? The Sheikh answers, you begin with the last rak'ah that you had missed. That is the rak'ah that you make up first.
والدليل على هذا أننا لا نعلم في السنة أن الصحابة الذين تخلفوا عن الصلاة كانوا يجهرون في الركعات الأولى فيها جهر، فكانوا يجهرون فيما يتمون، إنما كانوا يسرون. والرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قال: لا يجهر بعضكم على بعض في القراءة فكلكم يناجي ربه.
And the proof to this is that we know that when the Sahaba would miss the first rak'at of prayer or so forth, when they would stand up to complete the prayer, they would not read in a loud voice, although the prayer would have been a prayer of loud voice, meaning like Maghrib or Isha. When they would stand up, they would read in a low voice the completion of the Salah.
الدرس خلى الواحد يفكر في أسئلة كثيرة،
لكن لا نريد أن تضيع الأسئلة بسبب كثرتها.
The Sheikh says we don't want the questions to be lost because there's so many. So ask as many as you can.
No problem.
السؤال الأول يسأل يقول: عندهم في المدينة الذي يسكن فيها إن المساجد بتختلف في أوقات الصلاة، فمثلا هو يصلي صلاة الظهر في مسجد الساعة الواحدة، وبعد أن يتم الصلاة هو يكون في طريقه إلى البيت ويسمع النداء الساعة 1:30 في مسجد آخر، هل يجب عليه أن يدخل المسجد ويصلي؟
لا يجب عليه.
نعم.
إنما الحديث الذي أوردناه أنه أولا أنهم كانوا صلوا في البيت، والأمر الثاني أنهم كانوا جالسين داخل المسجد، أما هذا فصورته مختلفة من الطرفين، أنه صلى في المسجد ولم يكن داخل المسجد الآخر عندما سمع إقامة الصلاة.
The question that was being asked is: in the city that we reside in, the time of salah differs from one masjid to another, so therefore you may finish the prayer in one masjid and on your way you will see the prayer beginning in another masjid. Is the person required to pray in that second masjid once again, knowing that you have stated the position that it would be counted as nafl? The Sheikh says, first, we were mentioning that the people had prayed in their home and not in the masjid. Second thing is that they were in the masjid when the call was made and the people stood up to pray. They were in the masjid, they weren't passing by or heard the adhan. That is a different issue. أما السؤال الثاني بالنسبة لل الصف، هل نبدأ الصف من الوسط من وراء
من الوسط وإن لم يصح ذلك في السنة، لكنه صح عن الصحابة والتابعين أنهم كانوا يبتدئون الصلاة من خلف الإمام، أما على اليمين كما يفعله كثير من الناس فلا أطلع الصلاة.
The next question that was asked to the Sheikh is: where do we begin the line from? Is it from right behind the Imam or from the right side or the left side? The Sheikh said there is nothing authentically reported from the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordering, but it is authentically reported that the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, they would begin the line from immediately behind the Imam, meaning the middle of the line, and they would build it so forth. Now.
يقول هو يقود تاكسي، أحيانا الزبون يأخذ مسافة 100 كيلو أو 100 ميل، هل يعد هذا سفرا؟
علما أن هي مهنة أنه هو بيقود الفتي بيسافر.
هل هذا
أمر عادي؟
هل هذا هل هذه المسافة عند عامة الناس تسمى سفرا؟ إذا سميت سفرا فهو سفر وإلا فلا.
The question that is being asked, I'm a taxi driver by profession. Sometimes I will get a person who will ask me to travel with him or to take him 100 miles away from our city. Is this counted as travel? The Sheikh answers by saying, if this distance is known as travel to the people of the city you are in, meaning if you are going to be going on, someone is going this distance on a trip or so forth, would he consider it, the individuals of this city, would they consider it travel, that distance? If it is considered as travel, then you would pray your qasr. But if it is something that is not considered travel, it is something that it's a regular distance, people go back and forth, therefore it would not be considered travel. It is the person's own feelings of the distance. If it is deemed as travel, if you feel inside that it is a distance that you have traveled, therefore make your qasr. There is no distance that is limited by numbers.
بالنسبة للصلاة في السجود هل يجوز الدعاء باللغة الإنجليزية؟ علما أن كثير من الإخوة لا يجيدون اللغة العربية.
نحن نفرق بين الصلاة بأذكارها المشروعة والمنقولة وبتكبيراتها، فهذه يجب أن تكون باللغة العربية وأن يتعلمها المسلم. وأما الدعاء العام الذي يدعو المسلم به ربه فليدعوه بأي لغة يشاء
في الصلاة.
نعم. The Sheikh is saying Salah, the question that is being asked, many of us do not speak the Arabic language fluently, and we do not have all the dua memorized in Arabic. Can we in our prayer make dua in English? The Sheikh says there's two separate issues that are at hand. First, Salah, it is to be performed in the Arabic language. The requirements of the Salah, the tilawa, the recitation, the statements of Subhan Rabbil Azim and so forth, all of these are to be done in the Arabic language, required. As for the extra dua that a person makes out of his voluntary dua that are not from the requirements or the sunan of the salah, these can be done in any language that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. Now.
يقول لو سافر أحد الإخوان مثلاً إلى اليمن أو شيء ما شابه ليدرس ليطلب العلم لمدة معينة شهور أو سنة أو سنتين، هل يكون في سفر؟
يكون مقيما لأنه يجلس ويتهيأ للإقامة ويستأجر بيتا ويتخذ الأثاث وما شابه ذلك، وهذه كلها ظروف الإقامة.
The question that was being asked, if a person travels overseas to study and he stays there for months or a year or so, is this considered that he is in a state of travel? The Sheikh answers, the person would not be in a state of travel because he has arrived there intending to remain. He's rented out a place. He's gotten his everything set up in such a manner. Now we ask one of the written questions, inshallah.
Yes, ممكن تمثل لنا الصلاة وأنت جالس، كيف نصلي ونحن جلوس؟ ممكن يعني لكي يتعلموا هل كيف تضع اليد وكيف تضع؟
أنا أقول بالنسبة بالإنجليزي.
No. The question is, please ask the Sheikh to demonstrate the salah of a person who is sitting down. How is it done?
أقول لا فرق بين صلاة القائم والجالس إلا من جهتين. الجهة الأولى صفة جلوسه، وهي الفرق الأول بين القيام والقعود. والصفة الثانية الركوع، فهو بدلا من أن يركع قائما يركع جالسا، ويكون ركوعه بخفض رأسه دون أن يصل به إلى الأرض، فإذا رفع يرفع رفعا معتادا، وإذا سجد يسجد سجودا معتادا، فحينئذ لا إشكال. إلا أيضا في شيء واحد، وهو أنه في كل استواء لليدين يضعهما على فخذيه ولا يزلهما سدلا، أنه جالس والجالس لا يستطيع أن يسدل يديه سدلا. وهنا ننبه على تنبيه آخر، وهو أن بعض الناس ماذا يفعلون؟ قد يفعلون هذا على طاولة فيصلون هكذا، هذا خطأ. إذا لم يستطع أن يجلس على الأرض ويسجد على الأرض فلا يجوز أن يضع شيئا ليسجد عليه، وإنما يسجد إيماء، هذا ركوع وهذا سجود. أما أن يضع شيئا يسجد عليه فلا، إما أن يسجد على الأرض أو أن يسجد إيماء، ويكون السجود أخفض من الركوع. الجلسة التي يستطيعها، إذا استطاع الافتراش والتورك يجوز، هذا أفضل. إذا لم يستطع فالجلسة التي يستطيعها أو الجلسة التي يستطيعها.
The Sheikh answers the question about how is the prayer done while a person is sitting down. The Sheikh answers by saying, the prayer of a person who is sitting is equal in manner to the prayer of a person who is standing. There are only two issues that really need to be focused on. Instead of standing, the person is sitting. The person can sit in any manner that is possible, and it is preferred for him to be on the ground. The person who is sitting in his salah, that's the first issue, you are sitting. I asked the Sheikh, does he have to be in tawarruk or one of these positions? He says he can sit in any manner. It is preferred if he can sit in the manner of tawarruk and so forth. Pardon? We are still continuing in the answer. The Sheikh continues by saying that the person sits down. This is the first issue. The second is that the person, when he does his ruku'ah, he does it in a manner that he does not go all the way down to the ground. He just bends his head forward. And the sujood should be to the ground itself, like the regular sujood, and then you return to your position of sitting. The Sheikh says, if the person cannot sit on the ground and he's sitting on a chair, and he cannot go all the way in sujood to the ground, the person should not bring a table to make sujood on the table, or something of this nature. The person is to make his ruku'ah by moving his head forward a little bit, then he is to straighten up, and then he is to push his head further down in the simulation of sujood, and to say the required du'a that are said in the regular prayer. It is equal in manner to the regular standing prayer. So therefore, this is something that is important, as the Sheikh answered. Naam. بالنسبة للمطر كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يجمع. I say the best way to answer this question is to read Sheikh Ali's book, which is translated about the fiqh of the regulations of cold weather. But the Sheikh can answer you in regards to the rain. What are the requirements? بالنسبة للمطر والأشياء كيف هل نجمع الصلاة علما أن معنا سيارات وهكذا؟ نعم.
لا طبعا الجمع لا يكون إلا في المسجد وفي الجماعة الأولى.
نعم.
أما جمع منفرد بسبب المطر لا يجوز، وبالتالي من استطاع أن يجمع وأن يؤمن سيارته أو وضعه فيجمع، إذا لم يستطع يصلي الصلاة في وقتها.
The Sheikh answer, I say the best answer is to return to his book and read from it. The Sheikh answers by saying the jama'ah that is going to make the joining, it should only be the first jama'ah, meaning you can't come to the masjid later on after the jama'ah is already prayed, and you make your own jama'ah, and then you make your own jama'ah. This is something that is not permitted. Now.
بالنسبة للحديث ابن مكتوع هل تسمع النداء؟ هل الحديث صحيح؟
صحيح لا شك ولا ريب، ولكن هنا نقطة، أن هذا الحديث جاء لبيان تأكيد حضور الجماعة، وإلا فإن الأعمى لا تجب عليه الجماعة أصلا، ولكن قد يكون هنالك بعض العميان يعني لهم بصيرة ولهم خبرة بالطريق كأنما هم مبصرون. وأنا أعلم بعض العميان والله كانوا يمشون من غير دليل، لا إنسان ولا كلب، ثم كأنما يعدون الخطى عدا، يمشون هكذا ثم يلتفتون هكذا ثم يذهبون ثم شمال ثم يمين، كأنما هم يعدون الخطوات بكافة الاتجاهات. فهذا ما المانع أن تكون الجماعة عليه كما على غيره من إخوانه المسلمين المبصرين؟
The Sheikh was asked about the hadith of the blind man who came to the Rasul ﷺ and told him, sometimes I have difficulty in answering the call to the salah. And after the Rasul told him, you do not have to answer it, the Rasul ﷺ told him, do you hear the call? And the person said, yes. So the Rasul ﷺ told him, then answer the call. This hadith, is it authentic? The Sheikh says, yes, the hadith is authentic. It is a hadith that is agreed. It is authentic. He continues by saying, in regards to a person who is blind, it is not required for him to come to Jama'ah. It's not compulsory. Not every blind person is required to come to Jama'ah. What is meant by this hadith is if the person has the ability and has the knowledge to come to the Jama'ah, what is the reason why he wouldn't come to the Jama'ah? And this was what was being asked by the Rasul ﷺ. The Sheikh says, in our experience, we have seen people who are blind, who can get from one place to another with no help, not a walk, not a dog, or not a cane, or not any other person. They could go from one place, and it seems as if they count the steps. So they would count 50 steps, and they know they turn right here. And they would walk another 20 steps and turn left. And they know the way to get around the city or the area that they are living in with much more ease than people who may be seeing, and so forth. So the Sheikh says, what would be the reason that such a person who has this ability and knows how to get to the masjid, why would he not want to come to answer the prayer in the masjid? Na'am. أب يسأل لما تأتي الصلاة والإمام في السجود هل في استفتاح؟ هل تقرأ؟
تكبيرة الإحرام فقط ثم تستهوي.
نعم. The Sheikh says if you come to the prayer and the Imam is in sujood, you say the takbir, you say takbiratul ihram, Allahu Akbar, and go straight to the sujood. You would not have to make the dua of al istiftah, the opening of the prayer.
Takbiratan.
The takbir of ihram and the takbir to go into the prostration. بالنسبة للسجود على ظهر أمامك لو المكان ضيق، هل هذا جائز؟
واتقوا الله ما استطعت. نعم. إذا لم تستطع إلا هذا فجائز وإلا فلا.
نعم. The Sheikh says, in regards to the question about making sujood on the back of the person in front of you, if this is the only way that you can make sujood, then it is permitted, but fear Allah as much as possible, and Allah does not burden a soul more than it has the ability. And this is where we conclude. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. السلام
عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.